And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Alexandra Colotta and Andres Proano. They are here to talk about Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet that will be playing at Cité des Arts next week during Festival International. Can't believe it's actually coming up next week.
I know.
You know? It's coming fast.
Yeah, yeah, so in less than 2 weeks, you all will be opening this ballet.
That's right.
Now, it's not a classical ballet.
It's not.
Contemporary.
Yes.
Let's start off talking about Alice in Wonderland. I think maybe we should talk a bit about that story first before we talk about what you all did with it in your very unique, yeah, creative ways.
Okay.
A lot of us think we know what the story is. We think we have the images in our head from our particular favorite childhood book or some Disney film version of it. But tell us about your experience first, Alexandra, because I have a feeling this project initially began with you.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your relationship with Alice in Wonderland and just your take on the story.
Okay. Well, it's a book that I have liked for a long time. And I liked the idea that the characters were all very distinct from one another, and that there's a strangeness about the story overall and the characters themselves, and that lots of people appreciate it for all sorts of different reasons. And so I thought, when I wanted to make a dance concert, I thought it adapted itself really well to that. It was the kind of story, even though it began as a literary work, it could be told without words. And everyone that saw it could get something from it and have it remind them of one of the adaptations of it that they've seen in film or that they've read in the past. And then it would be very particular to our own interpretation of it as well.
Mm-hmm. And you actually read the story. You were telling me earlier, you read the story to your baby before he was born.
That's right. It was the first thing I read to my son when he was still in my belly.
Mm-hmm. And what was your experience with that? What kinds of images came to you? Because that's very different. You're not reading it to an audience that you can gauge the reaction. So you're obviously creating quite vivid images in your head.
Yes, that's true. In particular, down the rabbit hole, there's this part about Alice falling after she follows the white rabbit through the rabbit hole. And she falls for, she says, it feels like days, and she might end up in China. And wouldn't it be funny if everyone came out upside down on their heads when she finally did land? And having my baby kind of moving in my belly at that time, it just sort of evoked this image of falling. And it was something that I wanted to take a very particular view of in my ballet. Mm-hmm. What we decided to do for this scene is have Lacey Lopez, who owns the Vertical Bar, do a pole piece. And so this representation of falling is going to happen on a pole. So I thought that just kind of gave that image that I was getting as I read it a kind of new light, new...
Yeah, what a creative
life.
Way of staging that. Well, now this is, you've been interested in dance for a long time.
Right.
When did you first start dancing and maybe creating dances?
Well, I started dancing at about 3, and I grew up dancing at a studio in town. And then in high school, I got into the Arts Academy through the Lafayette Parish school system. And that's where I really got a chance to work my own choreography and setting pieces on my friends, my fellow dancers, and having them performed on stage really got me through a lot of things growing up. And I was able to express myself through that in a way that I couldn't in a lot of other areas of my life. And I was ready to recapture that expression again when the idea came to me to do Alice in Wonderland.
So it was a real passion earlier on in your life.
Definitely.
And was there anything that really sparked your interest in that passion again in creating dance?
Yes, I got involved in some theater through Cité des Arts. I actually did 3 shows in a row in the last year and a half or so, and I really liked that community theater. I liked the people that I was involved in. I liked the space, and I wanted to bring what I knew from earlier in my life, the dance and choreography and that aspect of performing arts, into this theater community that was already here that I already so much loved. And I thought, Lafayette has such a rich dance culture. You see it in how many studios we have around town and how great they are. You also see it at our festivals. I mean, we love to get out and dance, and there aren't that many opportunities for dancers to perform. There's a lot of take lessons and perform with those people, but there's very little open audition sort of performances available.
There's a lot of theater around.
Yes. There's some great theater. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so many of the dance pieces, you're right, are contained within that studio, whether it's classical or a jazz, or there is some contemporary going on as well. But
exactly.
You're right, no open calls for that.
Right. So I wanted to kind of cross over the two worlds and expand our artistic community in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. We do love to express ourselves through dance. We might not think of it as storytelling, but storytelling's so important here, mm-hmm. and
it
movement is as well.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And I love storytelling through movement. I mm-hmm. think there needs to be a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to loving the story and loving dance, you obviously thought that music would be a very important mm-hmm. element of this, and you brought in some very creative people. Our guest, Andres Provano, is
correct.
With the group Machete.
A funk band named Machete, yes.
Okay, tell us just a bit about Machete.
Machete
how long have you been together?
A funk band. Well, basically, Mike King and I, which is a good friend of mine, we started making funk tracks in probably around 2008, just doing like a side project. And then that kind of evolved into a funk band. And now we're an 8-piece band that includes a brass section. And so I play percussion and also do scratches in the band. And we perform all over Lafayette and New Orleans as well.
Mm-hmm. So. And do you compose?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, mm-hmm. I've composed songs for Machete. I mean, I produced our first album in 2012. But in the band itself, when we're playing live, I do the percussion for mm-hmm. the band.
Now, when you're composing, mm-hmm. do you think in terms of stories?
To be honest with you, no, not
very
really.
Abstract.
No,
mm-hmm.
it's just whatever, you know, I have a melody that comes into my head or something like that, and then I create based on what comes to my head. So that's why this Alice project was very interesting, because, you know, Alex came to us and, you know, gave us a guideline of different pieces, and based on that we put together the music, which was an interesting and different approach for me to create music, because you had never
done any programmatic
exactly mm-hmm. so it made it very interesting, and between Mike and I mean, I did a few scenes mm-hmm. and he did a few scenes, and we also collaborated on a mm-hmm. lot of them.
What was your response initially? I mean, how did you react to it when she asked you?
Honestly, at from the get-go, I was really into it, because it was something different. I hadn't mm-hmm. I'd never done anything like that, and it was a different approach for me to produce music. And now I loved it from the beginning. It was like a challenge.
Yeah, the storytelling part wasn't really that hard for you. It felt comfortable?
Some scenes, it took a while. I mean, it just depends what every scene, what was trying to be conveyed mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. different type of scenes. Mm-hmm. So it all depended on that, but some came naturally very easily. Others took a while to kind of formulate in my head different melodies and different patterns, depending on what was trying to be expressed in each scene.
Had you read the whole of Alice in Wonderland before, or did you go back and read it when
honestly,
you
honestly, no. The only thing I've seen is the movie.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. did you kind of go back and kind of read up some parts of it?
I did. I actually did a lot of YouTube. I refreshed my memory looking mm-hmm. at the scenes and mm-hmm. kind of getting a feel for the whole thing. Even though, the Disney movie is different, obviously, than the book, but that kind of just for some inspiration, you know.
Robert. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Alice in Wonderland has inspired a lot of different creative artists, from illustrators, visual artists. And mm-hmm. I know a few years ago that Tom Waits actually did Alice composition.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if you're a fan of Tom Waits.
I love
but
Tom Waits.
It was called Alice, and I want to say there was like three albums. There were three sets of it. And it might be worth going back and
I'll
taking
definitely check that out. That's
after
awesome.
You finish yours.
Yeah, exactly. That's good to know.
Yeah,
that's
so awesome. Very diverse people mm-hmm. being inspired by Alice in Wonderland. And there's actually some music, I guess, some songs in Alice in Wonderland, and particularly in Through the Looking Glass, some of the characters have songs that they
correct.
Sing,
that's
even
right.
though he doesn't include the music. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I mean, what an interesting collaboration. Again, I want to tell people who are tuning in right now, my guests are Alexandra Collada and Andres Proano, here talking about their collaboration. Alex is a choreographer and has choreographed this new dance, Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet. And Andres has the funk group Machete.
Correct.
And has created the music, composed the music for this dance. Well, let's talk about this particular dance. You did mention one scene, which is using the pole to indicate falling down the hole.
That's right.
Is this a piece that you composed music for?
Yeah, actually I did. It has like a Latin feel to it. I did some percussion, and it has like a Latin-type bass line, like a salsa-type feel to it, just to make it a little bit interesting and different. I mean, and that's what came to my head when I thought about the, you know, falling and a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That's why I kind of went with the Latin theme.
Well, we're going to talk about, let's go through some of the scenes in the ballet, and we're going to play one of your pieces, which has to do with the caterpillar.
Yeah, the caterpillar, that's probably my favorite music composition. It's one of the compositions that Mike and I actually collaborated on, and it's actually a dub, like a dub track, so it has that reggae feel.
Okay, well, we're going to listen to that in just a little while, but tell us about the structure, Alexandra. When you looked at the whole work, how did you start extracting scenes and creating the story visually?
Well, the first thing that I decided was which pieces I wanted to put to stage. And I read the books, both of them, and found that I needed pieces of each. The Disney version does incorporate Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass in the same movie, and I kind of felt like I needed to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Characters such as Tweedledee and Tweedledum, I think, are very iconic, and people wanted to see them on stage. Our piece for Tweedles is precious, and I think it'll be one of the crowd favorites. But that came from Through the Looking Glass rather than Alice in Wonderland. So I went and I picked my favorite characters, the ones that I think people are going to recognize most readily and the ones they're going to love. And I ordered them in a way that made sense to me, and I created this journey for Alice that goes from her home. She falls asleep, although she doesn't really realize she falls asleep. She follows the white rabbit down the rabbit hole. She falls into a little room where she drinks the little bottle that says, "Drink me," and it causes her to shrink. She eats the cake that says, "Eat me," and it causes her to grow. She finally manages her way out of the room, and she comes to the caterpillar. The caterpillar piece, which is the one we're going to hear the music for, is also the piece I choreographed. And it's a kind of visually interesting representation. There's five dancers together who, through a series of lifts, create one caterpillar. So that's sort of a fun piece. And after the caterpillars, we have Tweedledee and Tweedledum, which is a piece choreographed by Travis Guillory. It's more of a musical theater, sort of very happy-go-lucky and visually fun piece. After Alice meets Tweedledee and Tweedledum, she comes across the Cheshire Cat. And that piece is also Travis's, and it's a very cool concept piece. It takes place in the dark with a black light, so the cat, not to give too much away, the cat can appear and disappear. And
with his smile.
Right, right. After the Cheshire Cat, Alice meets the Hatter. Francis Barker choreographed this piece, all of the Hatter's work, actually. And Tyler Wilson, who is a local dancer, very talented breakdancer and in town, he works with a group called Rhythm and Soul. Anyway, he is our Hatter, and it's this very fun and neurotic representation of the Hatter. The Hatter takes Alice to the Mad Tea Party, which is also Francis Barker's scene, and it's a really beautifully uncomfortable piece. It's very classically modern, but it's a little bit darker than some of our other pieces, and it's very intense.
Which the actual scene is.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I thought it had to be represented that way to really get the message.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you invited not only dancers to audition, but you have different choreographers who are helping you with this piece.
I worked with three choreographers other than myself. Nikki Domingue choreographed two of the pieces, The White Rabbit and The Little Room, Eat Me, Drink Me. Travis Guillory, I mentioned. Francis Barker is the third. And then I choreographed all of Alice's work and the caterpillar scene.
All right. So an amazingly collaborative effort here.
Yeah.
Again, if you are tuning in, we're talking about Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet that will open next week during Festival International. It will run the 26th through the 28th at Cité des Arts. My guests are Alexandra Collada, who is the choreographer, but sort of
director. I'm the director
of this piece. You choreographed
Caterpillar
piece, and then there are other choreographers helping you out. And we also have some musicians, and with us is Andres Proano, who is with the group Machete, and he and Mike King.
Unfortunately, he had to work, but I was able to make it.
So you all helped to compose the pieces for the ballet.
That is correct.
In particular, we have a piece queued up now for Caterpillar, which is the scene you're describing with five different dancers creating the caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us just a bit about how you all created it, and then we're going to listen to it.
Sure. Basically, with Caterpillar, we thought of a lot of movement, but kind of slow and subtle. And when I think just slow and kind of jamming out, I think of dub and reggae. So it has like a slower, it's about 90 BPMs, beats per minute. And so it has a slow, really chill vibe. It has like a continuous walking bass line and then just melodies on top of that. And then it kind of changes up, but it's a very constant and fluid track. So.
Okay. And I guess we need to imagine those five dancers as well moving time to this. This is a piece by Andres Proano, and it is for Caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet. You're listening to a composition called Caterpillar, I assume.
Correct.
By my guest Andres Proano, and it is a part of Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet directed by Alexandra Collada, who conceived of this ballet as well. And we're just talking about the various scenes in the ballet, pieces that she chose from both Alice in Wonderland and Alice Through the Looking Glass, because we really do merge the two, maybe because of the Disney, but in our mind we do see all those characters.
I think everyone kind of does, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we did interrupt the flow of the scenes. I know you have a lot of dancers involved in this. So after we get to the Mad Tea Party, which, as you mentioned, is a bit dark,
that's right.
How do you conclude this journey?
Well, the last big scene is the Red Queen's garden, and it's a place where we probably took a little more liberties than in the other scenes because we were trying to find our conclusion, and I felt like Alice needed some sort of victory in order for the journey to be complete. So our Red Queen's garden scene starts with the cards painting the roses red, which is a scene, a part that people are pretty familiar with. They accidentally plant white roses and know they'll get in trouble for it, so they try to paint them red before the queen catches them. the Hatter and Alice see them doing this, and they offer to help them do so as the Red Queen and her entourage enter. So they try and hurry up and fall in line before she catches up with what's going on. But, of course, she starts getting angry and threatens everyone's head. And then there's a little funny something that we threw in where while the queen is angrily off with her head, off with her head, the Mad Hatter is kind of mocking her behind her and keeping the theme a little bit lighter. The queen eventually catches the Hatter doing so, and Alice wants to stand up for her friend or at least take the heat off of him, and basically distracts the queen with a game of croquet. So we have our flamingos, and Alice and the queen start their game of croquet. Despite a very disruptive and non-cooperative flamingo, Alice manages to score, which angers the queen again. So this time Alice stands up for herself, and the queen and Alice have a little fight. Alice actually wins the fight, and Wonderland is no longer under the rule of the tyrant. So from there, everything kind of dissipates, and she realizes that it was all a dream, and she arrives back home very happy to be there, feeling like she's accomplished something, grown.
Well, what an amazing conclusion to that.
Thank you.
Well, you mentioned a lot of characters. How many dancers do you have involved in this production?
I think it's 19. It's a big cast.
It's a lot.
It is.
In addition to the... Now, are there live musicians on scene, or have you recorded everything?
No, we actually recorded everything.
Okay.
So a lot of it was also done with electronic programs. Mm-hmm. So we did like a mixture of... electronic elements and live instruments. We also have Andrea Cohen from Sassafras Jubilee playing violin on a couple tracks.
Right. So that was Alice's solos.
Yeah,
we
Alice's
decided
solos.
To use the violin kind mm-hmm. of as the theme for Alice when she's alone.
And that definitely added like a whole new dimension.
Right.
To
yeah, because they're not
tracks.
Speaking at all.
No.
No.
So, well, almost not at all. There's literally two words in the whole thing.
We'll have to wait to see what those are.
That's right.
So do the musicians get to be on stage or near stage? Are y'all involved in any way?
Happily in the audience.
I think we're not even cueing the music. So all we're right. just relaxing and watching the show,
that's
enjoying
right.
the show.
Well, so. Tell us some of the dancers, the names of the dancers who are involved, some of the main dancers.
Okay. Sydney Hart is our Alice. She is a wonderful dancer. She and her husband, Josh Hart, run Dancing with a Purpose in town. And Teresa Wislowski, who's a graduate of the UL dance program, she is our Red Queen. Megan Connor is the Cheshire Cat. She's a principal dancer at Lafayette Ballet Theater. She has this amazing extension. It's really beautiful to watch her move. Let me see.
Well, what a great opportunity for these dancers. I mean, you're mentioning people who are in very particular dance studios with a certain style.
That's true.
And here they get to break out of that, just like Andres and Mike
getting
to do something
different.
Yeah, that like you wouldn't normally.
Like a big collaboration between different people, which makes it really cool.
That's right. And there's a wide range of both dance styles and music styles throughout
exactly.
the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been an amazing audition, seeing all these people dance and seeing them do something outside of their comfort zone.
That's right. It was really fun to hold the auditions, to watch these dancers kind of come in not knowing what to expect and then open up and have fun with it. I did a part of it as like an acting audition where I gave them a fairly simple phrase, about 3/8 counts, and I had them dance it. And then after they went through it once playing, I would call out an emotion and they would have to change the movement slightly to express that emotion. And so we did about 15 different emotions throughout that audition, and everyone was laughing and just having a good time together. It was really fun.
So, Andres, did you ever come to some of the, I guess, either the auditions or the practices to get any inspiration?
No, actually, I went after when I already did the music for a couple of the scenes just to check it out, just to kind of get an idea of how everything was flowing. But at first, they didn't have music. I mean, they basically went in there not knowing what to expect, and So that's another thing that was challenging, just coming up with the music and kind of trying to think of how everything was going to flow, how the dancers were going to move, et cetera, et cetera. And just, you know, creating the music based on a blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Storyline, emotions.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then basically the dancers adapted to the music.
Right.
Itself. And I actually went Saturday to check out one of the more, you know, later rehearsals, and it's looking great. It's going to be awesome.
Has it been a satisfying experience for you?
It definitely has. Yeah. It's been different, and it's been really cool. So I'm really happy.
You think you could go into sort of the ballet world? And
I don't know. I mean, I'll leave my options open. Yeah. I mean, whatever type of music that I can produce, I'm mm-hmm. open to it, because that's mm-hmm. that's my passion,
right.
working on music and doing projects like that motivate me. So whatever comes my way, I'll take it.
Well, you all have certainly started a very interesting collaboration. I think there are many people who look forward to continued collaborations like that in our community. Mm-hmm. I guess there are some parents out there listening maybe who are wondering, is this appropriate for children? Would they enjoy it?
Absolutely. It'll be a really fun show for anyone. I think there's so many layers and there's so much depth to the story that anyone could sit and get something from it.
And just pleasure from the movement, the music, mm-hmm. the
right.
costumes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You kind of mentioned the caterpillar, but I imagine all the other costumes are just as fascinating.
They are.
Yeah. Did you have a costume designer?
Actually, no. It was me and my dancers. We took it on ourselves.
Again, multitasking,
that's
all
right.
kinds of collaboration.
That's how you have to do it, yeah.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
Do you all have a Facebook page or a web presence that people can stop by?
There is a Facebook page, Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet.
Okay, well, people can look that up. I'm sure there are some photographs, images.
There certainly
are. Are there any snippets of music there as well?
I don't think.
We have some videos and
right.
stuff like that. Right. I'll go ahead and say that you can look up my band. If you type okay. in Facebook, a funk band named Machete, it's mm-hmm. going to come up. And we're actually playing at Festival Friday for the Park Jam. We're going to be there. We're probably going to play around 7 to 7:30.
Okay. You going to do any of the Alice pieces?
we might. You never know. So we're going to be there and check yeah. us out, because it's a festival. There's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a lot of
all
fun.
Right. So. Well, we'll look forward to the soundtrack coming out as well.
Definitely.
So.
Cool.
Again, my guest, Alexandra Collada and Andres Praano, talking about Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet. It will be performed during Festival International next week, April
Correct.
26th, 27th, and 28th at Cité des Arts. Tickets will be available at the door or ahead of time. Where can you get them?
Or at citedesart.org.
All right. You can call them and you can
That's
reserve
right.
tickets as well.
That's right.
Exactly.
Facebook presence, Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet, or you
Correct.
Can check out Machete's website to
exactly.
hear their music. And if Cecil has something queued up, maybe we can go out with another piece from Machete and the composers of Alice in Wonderland, a contemporary ballet.
Perfect.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.